the Gentleman's Review.
It's episode 64 of the Gentleman's Review. And we're on the road down to Halifax today because the Recordotron's fucked, so we're going to record in the pub instead.
Yep, our supreme Marantz field recorder has died. It's no more.
Dead as a fucking dodo.
Yeah, and we couldn't be asked getting batteries.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, the batteries would have fixed it, but...
Yeah,
so they've all done excuses to go to the pub.
So rather than walk 10 minutes to the battery shop, we're walking 20 minutes, half hour to the pub.
Well, we've got a dog with us, so we've got an excuse for walking.
Yeah, he needs the exercise.
The usual excuse for walking of running away from napalm, naked, and being a child don't apply in this situation.
Yeah. So how are you chaps?
Not too bad, not too bad. Yeah. It's a lovely road we're walking down, isn't it? It's we've got a timber merchant to our right.
Yeah, fishing chip shop to the left.
Yep.
Yes, apparently it's award-winning, although it's award-winning in quotes, so...
Yeah. I think it won an
award. I don't
know
what kind of figurative sense of award-winning it is.
It's just simply quoting the phrase, award-winning.
It's not very inviting, is it, with the door shut and the blinds down?
No, that's because that's a house and not a fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
The fish and chip shop's at the top of my road. That's award-winning. That's directing people in the wrong direction, really.
It doesn't really want to have a sign on that side of the building, does it?
No.
Do they pay those people to have the advertisement look like a fish and chip shop?
I think they probably do.
Maybe they are those people.
Yeah. They must all get people calling there, though, saying, where's my fucking fish and chips?
Yeah.
I ordered fish and chips ago from your website, and I've still not received them. Please give them me now. I am a fish and chip fetishist. I like to stick my penis into a bit of coley or finny haddock.
No, that's what they use the pots of peas for.
Oh, right, okay. Or gravy, imagine that.
Oh, a gravy lube.
Well, they lube it up with gravy and then stick it in and out of the peas.
Oh, I love gravy sex, I do.
Fucking pervert.
Well, it's cheaper than chocolate.
Anything's cheaper than chocolate these days.
Yeah.
Gold cheaper than chocolate.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Definitely.
I've got a ring made of the finest white chocolate. Comedy gold.
Never gets old.
Comedy gold. Tom just stood on my foot.
Well, the devil obviously doesn't want me taking part in this podcast.
Don't tread on the dog.
He didn't. You tread on me.
No, I was just thinking that following you on Twitter, I've heard enough about your ring this week. I don't want to hear any more.
Oh, yeah, I've got. My arse was bleeding.
Yeah, I did spot all those updates.
Yeah,
is it better now?
No, it's a little bit sore, but it's all right. But yeah, after the last podcast, I went up and I had a big poo. And frankly, it was like that scene in Jaws when he's sort of bitten the woman in two.
What, while she's having a poo?
Yeah. And Dill's just pulled Andy back to have a poo now.
Yeah.
This is the best podcast ever. I think we should do them all like this.
Well, we'd certainly point. Probably all be less fat if we walked around a lot.
We'll call them roadcasts. Oh, is that too obvious? Perhaps it should be something else. Pavement casts? Gutter casts?
Walk casts?
Perambulations. In fact, we'll call this episode the perambulation. No, that's stupid.
Yes, that is.
Maybe promenading. Promenading.
Promenado cast.
The gentleman's promenade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Gentleman's promenade. It's the gentleman's promenade.
That's rather snappy.
It is.
I like it.
That's what happens when. Did I tell you the bloke from the other Gentleman's Review? Dill's pulled Andy back in and he's pulling me straight forward.
Bloke from who?
The other Gentleman's Review contacted me.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
It's a shitty YouTube video thing.
It's rubbish.
Yeah. Ooh. And he suggested that we should stop using the name because he was using it.
Did you suggest he could go and fuck himself?
I did. I did, Andy.
Good thing too.
And no, I don't think he did. He never got back to me.
No. Oh, he's too busy trying to fuck himself.
Yeah. Up the bum.
It's difficult. I've been told.
Indeed. Yes. But yes, I told him to go away because he only started last year. And we've been doing it for ages. Yeah. You have to excuse if Andy keeps dipping out because he is actually holding Dill and Dill keeps stopping to sniff things and and we are continuing at a constant speed. So that means Andy suddenly dips behind us. Mm. It's a bit like that sort
which,
of
which
whole...
visually is quite amusing, but it really does nothing for you.
No. So we're approaching, this is the exciting bit, we're approaching now the local petrol station, which has a cash machine, which I'm going to get some cash out.
Wow.
While we've got the pub. So
excellent.
We're going to be doing some sort of live cash withdrawal on the Gentleman's Review for the first time
that
ever.
That is amazing.
Yeah, imagine that.
I'd be surprised if any podcast has ever done a live cash withdrawal.
This is literally internet history right here.
Yeah, like, fucking, answer me this. I've never done anything like that. They've tried. They've tried to be interesting. But I'm afraid their sheer blandness has...
Until they get themselves down a petrol station to take money out.
Yep.
They're never going to get there.
They're buffoons. Assholes and buffoons.
Timers.
Hey, this is efficient. The lady ahead of us has pressed the button for the crossing.
Now, does she seems to be doing her own podcast as well, which is great.
She's literally saving us seconds.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So, wait to get the crossing now. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Cars stopping. Oh, there we're beeping her off. And what a lovely crossing this is. Walking now past...
That was a textbook bit of road crossing.
It was indeed. Now we're walking past the Safe Food Shop, which has recently closed down.
Yeah. Well, it's very safe. It's all locked up.
Yeah. It may be pronounced Saif. I'm not sure. But it says a safe food store. Mm. Which seems to have been converted into some flats. And thus is no longer a safe food store, but a safe flats.
Yeah,
as they say. Listen to the traffic for a few seconds. Well, just let that joke sink in.
I've been rendered speechless by the fact that this petrol station also seems to be a Greggs.
It is, yeah.
Wow, I might go and get a pasty while working.
How great is that?
Fat knacker.
What? It's bloody lunchtime.
I am tempted every morning when I walk past here to go to work to just pop in and get a Greggs.
There's nothing better than a bit of Greggs.
And sadly, Paddy McGuinness is in there, so I couldn't possibly.
You can go in and hit him.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to go to the cash machine while they're going and get some Greggs now, so this is going to be fun. People are looking at me strange. Why is that man talking to his phone? Right, here we go. Well, there's somebody ahead of me. I might have to go quiet for a few minutes.
Is it still on?
It is. I'm being very quiet because I didn't want to spook anybody in front of me.
Yeah, talking to yourself like a mental.
Yeah.
Tom's gone in to get snacks, so I'm out here bothering Martin.
Right, okay. I'm approaching now the cash machine.
Make sure they get the beeps.
You get the beeps in the cash machine. And this freaked me out slightly, this one. Because this one has a little green thing at the front to stop people sticking extra little green things onto...
That's rather clever, isn't it? Are you sure that isn't just something that someone stuck to the front?
Yes, I'm positive. I tried it the other day.
Ah.
And here we go. So now Andy now knows my PIN number.
I wasn't looking.
Not that he cares.
not like there's ever going to be anything in the account worth stealing.
I really should press enter after that. I'm going to withdraw without receipt because I'm a sort of cunning sort of man. I'm carefree.
Yeah.
I'm carefree. I'm going to withdraw £20. So here we go. There's £20. There we go. And in a second, my card should pop out, hopefully. Where? And there goes my card. Out it comes.
Here it comes. Oh, there he goes. Straight in his wallet.
And £20 is popping out, and I'm putting that in my wallet now. So, there we go. That's the first ever podcast money withdrawal.
It really is solid gold, isn't
it? It is, yeah. And the people walking around us now think we're completely mad.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, really. I think the other person who knows how we feel is Jason Bert Darcy, who does the little Stormy's pictures, and quite often finds himself in the middle of public places... Being looked up very strange as they're taking pictures of these little fellas.
Sausage roll.
No, I'm fine, thanks. I had toast earlier on. So now we're setting off back into town. So this, I might have to edit some of this down.
No shit.
Because frankly, the entire journey will be quite boring. So what we're going to do now is...
Leave it as is.
Yeah. What we're going to do is, I think... Can anybody click their fingers? I can't, you see.
I can, but I'm holding a pasty and a dog leash.
Right, okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll try and find a sound effect of somebody clicking their fingers, and we will be magically in the pub.
Hang on.
That was impotent, but it will do.
I'm going to try again. I'm greasy.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, we're in the
pub. Hey. So, here we are in the Three Pigs in Halifax.
And we magically have beer in front of us, which is one of the nicest things in the world.
Num, num, num.
Oh, it's not a dipsy cast. We can't start off talking about beer, can we? We've got to stop about something else.
We're going to talk about other stuff. What did we say? Oh, we saw the Jizz Centrifuge on the way here. That was quite good.
Fantastic. It's a new idea from the government to because of the population growth. What we've decided to do is strap men into this big old centrifuge.
Especially men from undesirable areas, like here.
Yeah. Whiz them round until their spunk comes into their mouths, and then they cuff it all up into a hanky.
Or swallow it.
Yeah. And there we go. That's all the spunk of the world gone.
Yep.
Well, in this area.
All the bad spunk. Yeah. You know, it fixes the problems of male violence and excessive children all in one go.
Yep.
Because if they're not so desperate to empty the nuts, they don't get so fighty.
No, yes. But yeah, so that's kind of what we saw on the way. We after leaving you, we did have an excellent adventure. What did we do? No, we didn't do anything really.
Did we? I was just trying to remember. Was it so exciting my mind's blocked it so I don't go mad?
I think, yes, the horror of it all.
Oh,
terrible thing.
Crazy.
Especially that woman turned round and she was in the little Red Riding Hood thing.
Oh,
it turned
out
to be a wizened woman.
Yeah.
And she stabbed you to death and you died.
That sucked.
Yeah.
That was the bit I liked.
Yeah. Oh, right. I love Don't Look Now. Has anybody seen it recently?
Not recently, no.
It's the most, still the most disturbing film I've ever seen. Outside of Morons from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah. That was disturbing. I saw that at the cinema.
So did I.
I didn't.
And it was miserable. It was I don't know if it was the same year, but certainly quite close together, I saw two of the most disappointing films ever.
What were they?
First, Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even though it had David Warner in it at the beginning.
Couldn't save
no.
it.
No.
Peter Cook,
I think so, yeah.
Supergirl, wasn't it?
God, I love Peter Cook.
Blimey.
Oh, he's so sweet. No, he wasn't sweet. Mental, drunken,
horrible old man.
But we all loved him.
Yeah.
Hey, it was just the thing about people who drink or people who like pubs. Is that it seems to be if you're very, very unpleasant or shouty or insult people quite a lot, you'll get loved by everybody.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah. So outside, in the outside world, that doesn't happen. Probably hearing a lot of scrambling noises now. Because Andy's fiddling with some.
Yeah, there was some wet on the table. I was scooping it up with a beer mat.
Andy's head won't let him. Not wipe it up.
What? There was a drip. Needed.
He's like Rupert Penry Jones in Whitechapel. He has to sort of cloak, turn the light off and off 150 times.
I never turn the light on and off more than 3 times.
Then he smashes the thing.
Just have to make sure it's clicked properly.
Yeah, that's good. So what have we been doing since we last saw you?
About 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I think we've covered most of it, haven't we?
Yeah, on the way down. So, really, this is just going to be us drinking. If you want to switch off now, that's fine.
Yeah.
Probably, I'm going to drink this pint. And
we were griping at the lack of slates on the old mill.
Yeah, there's an old mill. It's called Martin's Mill. Well, it's actually not called Martin's Mill. It used to be called Martin's something.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just what your mum used to call it to make you feel special when you were driving past in the car.
It was my castle.
Look, love, it's Martin's Mill. That's really what it's called.
Yeah, when we were kids, me and my sister had castles.
A special little boy?
Yeah, me and my sister had castles when we were kids.
Ah.
And you walk down a place in Halifax called Ramsden Street, and there's actually a wall of masonry, which used to be...
Wow.
Which is unusual.
Cool. Imagine.
Which had little sort of doorways in and things. And what was it?
Whoa there, Tiger. Wall with doors in?
Yeah.
Run that by me again.
It's like that one there.
Good lord.
Yeah, but no, it had little... steps going up to it and things.
Steps?
I mean, yeah. And it was a row of houses that had been knocked down, quite tall ones, and still there. You can still go
not completely knocked down.
No,
I'll
but if you go
but they're still there knocked down.
Yeah, but if you snuck up the steps you could go along this little passage and into the rooms, these little rooms at the back and sort of sit there.
And that was my castle. My sister had the church at the top of my road. That was her castle.
Wow. So you're basically saying your mum entertained you and your sister by letting you play in the derelict building?
Yeah, well, they didn't let us do that. I did that later on.
God. You had a gritty upbringing, didn't you?
Me and another guy called Martin used to go in there and wank. Occasionally we'd invite other people from school to come around. We'd all just sit there wanking.
Blimey.
Yeah, that's it.
I never did anything like that with my mates.
No, I never wanked with my mates.
You're obviously just like a few years too young. Just to have got.
Well, did it go out of fashion then?
I think it did.
Go out of fashion at the end of the 70s, early 80s. But just the whole wanking with your mates thing. This wasn't cool anymore.
Really should have been a big giveaway to our sexuality, because what would happen is they'd find like a page. It was as if we were sort of fucking, you know, peasants. But they'd find a page of a porn man usually hanging around nearby.
Yeah.
And we'd all go in there, and there would the other lads would look at this porn mag and we'd crack her off. I would crack her off looking at the other lads. Should have really given
everyone
away.
Was probably too engrossed in what they were doing to notice.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I've spoken to the people about it, and other people have done that, and it's not an unusual thing for chaps to sit down.
Of course not. Of course it isn't.
Actually, on the subject of being that age and porn.
Yeah.
Did you ever do the stereotypical finding porn in a sort of weird place outside?
Oh, yes. Yeah, most of the porn I have.
It is odd how common that is.
Mm. I used to, if we used to find some, we used to divide it up amongst us.
Yeah.
So I would take all the stuff
you
had
tear all the pages in half down the line where they were doing it and keep all the men half.
Pretty much. All the ones would just like pages of men and maybe a woman nearby. maybe in a different room.
Yeah.
I would keep those.
See, I'll have that one. I'll just fold it over there. there we go.
And that used to be hidden under a loose floorboard in my bedroom. Yeah, it sounds really crap and almost as if I'm making it up, but I did have lots of loose floorboards. So when they rewired the house, it's a 1930s house, semi, and they left lots of loose floorboards. And they
that's a bit slack of them.
Yeah.
So much for old style workmanship.
But they screwed them now, but I unscrewed them. So they weren't actually loose floorboards, they were perfectly.
Yeah, they were perfectly good floorboards that you loosened, yeah. You vandal.
I often wonder now, because people moved into that house, and I didn't move anything when I left.
Constantly both breaking their ankles and finding gay porn. Yeah. But at my school, we had the music building was a separate old wooden, couple hundred years old, old wooden building that I think for ventilation to stop it going mouldy, right at the bottom.
Yeah.
It was almost sort of up on pillars.
Oh, yeah.
You had about 6 inches gap. Mm. And it was the habit for people to put their porn in plastic bags, tie it on, drop it through the hole, but have the string tied round the wooden post. So you'd walk round the back of the music building, and all of the posts would have little loops of string round them, and if you pulled them up, there'd be someone's porn stash in a plastic bag at the end.
Well, they used to do that with music departments. It was going to be like far away from the school because obviously.
Oh, I thought you meant kept porn under them.
Yeah.
Always. You go to the Royal College of Music, it's built on a foundation of porn.
It's on the national syllabus.
Yeah.
How to do it. But yeah, I was just in a series of porter cabins outside. And great. But there was also this myth that the head of music was found wanking in the boiler room at the back of the porter cabin. It was unverified, but I'm sure that every school's got a story about their teacher being found wanking.
Oh. I don't know, our head of music eventually started boffing the enormously titted history teacher. So.
We had one guy who was brought into the school to start up what was a TVEI, I think it was, Technical Vocational Educational Initiative, that was launched in the 80s.
Oh, good girl.
And I used to be part of that because I used to go and do one afternoon a week, I'd go down and do electronics technology course over at the opposite school. Mm. And
the opposite school.
The opposite
school. Satanists.
Yes, it was a diabolist school. And he would, and he was finally dismissed for getting a pupil pregnant. But he wasn't a teacher, you see, but so he could get away with it without going to prison. But yes, she was over 16, but it was still found inappropriate in a Catholic school for somebody to get a pupil pregnant.
Well, at least it showed they probably weren't using contraception.
Yeah.
So the Pope would have been happy.
He'd have been happy.
Stupid old cunt.
I don't remember any rumours about members of staff at my school wanking. We did have an English teacher who
immediately married the sixth form as soon as she'd left. it might well have been weeks after she finished her exams.
Excellent.
But you just had to admire him for that.
Oh, yeah.
The weirdest thing, I might have talked about it on a podcast before, but it's worth repeating. one of our mathematics teachers, the rumour was she had a false ear, a wax ear, no less.
How weird.
Now, if you looked, I mean, it wasn't like she had lots of hair. You could see her ears quite clearly, and they were both quite clearly real.
Yes, so did
but this rumour persisted.
So did nobody go after her with a cigarette lighter just to see? Miss, ah! Burns all around it when everybody tries.
The other one.
But there's some things that you just want to believe.
Yeah, waxy. Some wax. Wax lips.
I mean, the rumour didn't even go so far as to say why, you know, how she'd lost it. Most decent rumours would have some myth.
There'd be some kind of story.
Yeah.
Either involving an industrial accident or a wild animal.
Save a pig from a burning building, something like that. Burning pig.
Nom nom nom.
Dirty, dirty bastard.
You know, burning pig.
So I started watching The Avengers again the other night, and I watched all the way through, and I finally gave up. The point of it is that there are people, well, we discussed it last podcast, people, unpleasant people, we pull them apart, that's the thing of it. I got bored of it.
Yeah.
I got really bored of it. And although the bit I do like watching every time is the bit where Alan Sugar goes and gives them their task for the week. And it's as if he's been to Gordon Brown's smile coach. Because I can't really show it, but it'll be
do it for the listeners.
But yeah, so I'll be talking.
That was exactly it. Yeah. That's very good.
So I'll be very, walking very serious and gruff, you know, looking like Sid James as he does. Yeah. And then they'll be just talking and go, and this week you're going to have to do a lovely fashion task. Where did that smile come from? It's been scary. You can see it just holds them all in contempt, so it's amazing that they...
You know, which is good, because it's nice that there's at least someone on there you can identify with in some way.
Oh. Now, what's this spat that he seems to have with your old softball?
Oh, yeah.
What's this? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brouhaha-ing.
But it's quite entertaining, I'm not sure for
what's that all been about, then? Fill me in, as it were.
I've not heard much other than what Five Lives didn't fit to tell me.
But yeah, it wasn't...
It was an excuse for not telling me any news.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered to go back in the stream to actually find out where it started.
He just doesn't seem to like fat matters, I think. Doesn't he suggest she was too porky to be on TV, which I think is a bit harsh.
Yeah.
He's no fucking slim bastard himself, so...
Wizened face.
Yeah.
Like an old...
Come on, you're nearly there. Tester. Keep going.
In a pickling jar.
Yeah, I think you saved it at the end there.
Yeah,
good work.
It was good, was that?
Yeah.
I think I am the king of the simile.
Pickles.
Yeah. Is that in the Middle East?
Yeah. Hey. Comedy gold.
See, I joined in that time.
That's possibly the first time I've ever heard you properly do that, Jingle.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to work out.
He's gone all red now.
Because of the beer.
It's got to be a harmony in there somewhere, I can work out.
Oh. Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
There isn't really anything harmonic. Harmonic about it. Harmony. Oh, yes, somebody's writing us a version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, they are, aren't they? Yeah.
It's called 12 Cunts of Christmas, though. We've been advised not to do it. by a comedian who's advice I trust, but we're going to do it anyway. And,
are we?
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't told we'd been advised not to.
Yeah.
Was there much reasoning to it, or just it's a fucking bad idea?
I think it was just a bad idea, because he'd done it with and the group of people. He'd done the 12 Days of Christmas before. But I don't think he realised it was the 12 Cunts of Christmas.
That would make all the difference. Yeah.
Which is different.
Yeah.
By being different.
Yeah.
But... So yeah, we're going to get that out probably Christmas, I would imagine.
That'd be a good time,
I think if we're going to have to pick some kind of arbitrary deadline, that would be as good as any.
Because I'm going to be cheeky, I'm going to download the music.
Oh, get you. Yeah. You're not even going to play it on your little piano?
No. It's got woodworm. Yeah, Alan Woodworm's in it. He set up his own little shop.
He's monopolising it.
Yeah, he sells dust.
What an arse.
And old Smarties he found in the
paper. He's such a cock, that bloke.
You know.
He thinks just because he's got a shop and a piano.
Well, it's because he's got protection. You know, he's got protection from...
Well, I suppose he's got the little locky thing that comes down at the key. If you try and kick him out, he just pulls, slams that down on your fingers, and everyone else around laughs because you've had your fingers slammed in a piano, and then he locks it.
I mean, he's got protection.
And then he's safe.
Got protection from Pinsel Tignitz.
Well, that's it. Usually he'd get anyone out for you, wouldn't he?
That's it. But so he's there. My piano's dead, essentially. Have to download the music.
Oh, we probably will. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh,
good boy.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Hey, that lovely man's just brought Jill some.
Yeah,
some
that was very nice. Sir. Now we've all got a drink.
The proper pub.
Yeah, exactly.
I should say, we're in the Three Pigeons pub in Halifax.
I did say. Actually, I said Three Pigs, but you know.
Oh, well, there we go. It's been said again, and you can't say that too often.
No, I often think to myself, I'm not saying it enough.
No.
Yeah. I think we should fill the rest of this podcast just repeating the fact that we are in the Three Pigeons in Halifax.
Over and over.
It'd be postmodern.
It would.
We'd probably win next year's Turner Prize or something.
Yep. It would be Taffy Turner. Off of the Ruby Wax show.
Yes. Yeah.
So she's giving prizes out now.
Yeah.
Taffy Turner, Inside America.
Ah, I don't remember that.
Oh, and that's a bit of cultural referencing. That's just fallen on barren.
Dead on its arse.
On the gravel.
Yeah.
And it shall not grow.
I just imagined it was, some American that carved cylindrical statues out of toffee on a lathe.
Yeah. What is taffy? Is it the same as toffee?
I don't know.
It is, yes.
Is it? Right. I thought it might be. But because I've seen them referring to taffy and toffee in American things. So it must be a regional thing.
Is it the same distinction as ketchup and catsup? Or however...
catsup.
Catsup. Or however they...
I think catsup's made of catsup.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is different, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. I thought it was just the same and they put different names on it because they wanted to be special or something.
Oh, could be. I mean, I'm not American. I'm quite happy not knowing these things.
I don't know. Stop pressuring me.
But you are American, Andy.
No, I am not.
Do you not remember when you were American?
Yeah.
Well, what happened then?
That was odd, wasn't it?
There's a voice from the distance. Doing a really, really... It's had a really bad American accent.
It was absolutely shit, wasn't it? God, it makes me cringe with embarrassment at the thought that there could be such a talentless cunt in the world.
Yeah.
Hello, are you talking about me?
Yes.
Yeah. Blimey. It's like sitting next to Hugh Laurie.
Yeah. Who's there?
Hey!
Oh, hello, Hugh.
that was very...
So I punched him in his nads to make him say something.
Yeah.
Close my eyes
and imagine he's really here.
He's normally quite verbose, but today he's being very quiet. He's just reading the racing form.
Not wanting to be overly critical, but it sounded a little bit more like Paul Daniels, was it?
I thought it disappeared until I saw him on that Dancing with Lice programme.
Yes. He done some bad dancing.
Some very bad dancing.
I watched an episode of that and I really liked it, but I didn't like it for the dancing. I liked it because there was a dance where two people were dancing, a man and a woman, and the woman was wearing this lovely yellow dress, and the chap was wearing a black sort of dinner jacket, and it looked so good on the screen. That's why I enjoyed it. But I
was just you boasting about your telly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on BBC HD. Oh, now it's BBC HD 1 they've got now.
Oh, they got another one then, or are they just getting ready for another one?
No, they're essentially... Oh, God, this is so boring. There are simulcasting BBC and HD.
Ooh.
Blimey.
Scaling.
Ooh.
Yeah. You're all tangled up there.
There are certain things that really don't need to be in HD, surely.
No.
News, say.
Yeah, I would have thought we could manage.
Yeah.
Without
anything that's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Who's going to gain much from it?
No.
You know, if it's anything with like visuals.
Yeah.
I think cartoons look quite good actually.
Porn,
in HD
porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cartoons look quite good in HD.
What are you doing? Dilly, Martin, stop him.
Martin's
just helpfully unclipped Dilly from his lead so he can go wander around the pub on his own like he's not supposed to.
Yeah, good idea.
There we go.
There we go. Sorry. And I fell off my chair, to a certain extent. To quote Bill Bailey off of Black Books. There we go.
Well, that was a bit of excitement, wasn't it,
yeah,
listeners?
I think I've hurt myself. My hip's feeling a bit sore.
Have
you? Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think the hip mites have got to me again.
Oh, ooh, they do that, though. They yeah. burrow in through the end of your winky.
Yeah, it's sent in by that cunt in my piano. It's,
He's got it in for you always, hasn't
hates
he?
Me, yeah. Hates me in all ways. Pianos, oboes, tubas, hips.
It's the way he plays the sort of old-time silent film chase music when you're trying to get to sleep as well, so you up just when you're trying to relax.
Yeah. I'm there just counting sheep. The sheep start running around. And then think of a dog coming round them up and to get them into the pen, but sometimes the dog can't do it.
Yeah, and because of the slapstick nature of the music, the sheep keep sort of opening the wardrobe door and the dog runs face first into it. And
there's
God.
A policeman who starts running after them.
Running around, waving his truncheon and his trousers fall down.
Oh, God. Jesus, it's like EastEnders all over again.
Yeah. It's a wonder you get any rest at all.
Yeah. No rest for the wicked.
No.
That's what they say.
God damn, the sun's moved around and it's in my eyes now.
Just
move your head. You usually sneeze when you get sun in your eyes.
Yeah, it's odd. It's not getting at me now.
Not that I've ever believed that at all.
Oh, yeah, but next to me.
Yeah, see?
Bright lighters. Especially when coming out of the cinemas and things like that.
Everyone else does, just not you. Ow. Tom's beating me up.
No sneeze.
He's punching his
face. Well, I didn't say I'd sneezed when you punched me on the arm. That's not the same at all.
No. It's like saying, I sneeze when you rape me. That's somebody's just going to rape you then, isn't it? Isn't it?
You deserve it.
Well, I don't want one raping.
Yeah, you say that just to make yourself seem a bit more coy.
It depends. If they could give me a drug that knocked me out completely, do what they want.
Wouldn't that defeat the purpose?
Well, not rape, not for the rapist.
Oh, well, that's nice, I suppose.
Because rapists
have needs too.
You know him, you are actually, you're, as far as I know, you're kind of put under, but not far enough under to not know what's going on. So I think you need a proper anaesthetic that's going to knock you out completely.
Yeah.
And then they can, you know, rattle it around, slap it on the back.
You know, yeah, that's I think that's what they do, isn't it?
Spooge on the nape of your neck.
Yeah.
And then you'll just wake up and you think, Jesus, that was a weird dream. I just dreamt I stuck my own penis up my. Oh, I did. That's amazing. And then you go around telling everybody that you've had sex with yourself, and you never know.
Yeah.
And perhaps quite a dry mouth from the anaesthetic. And then somebody will come in and give you ice cream. That always happens after you've had anaesthetic.
That'd make it nice, and it'd probably take the taste away as well.
Yeah. Taste.
Oh, I'm going to have to move around a bit.
How did we get back on to having sex with yourself? This is the trend for the day.
We always.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Does it count as rape if it's with yourself?
I don't. Unless you.
If you don't tell yourself first.
If you're not consenting, then.
Yeah.
So if you're bringing your hand down to your old groin layer and saying, no, don't do it. I don't want this.
All right, maybe then.
Yeah. Date rape. which is still a taboo subject. Is that taboo?
As a Catholic teenager, you might have had a reasonable amount of non-consensual wanking.
Yeah, I must have done that.
Brain saying no, but hand saying yes.
God's looking at me. Stop looking at me.
Is this why you constantly require an old man to be watching you while you're wanking then?
Yes. I am stood on a chest of drawers.
The beardier the better.
Down, just pointing all the way through and just looking stern.
Yeah, well, you do employ a tramp, don't you, to wear a white robe and sit on top of your wardrobe.
Yeah. It's a thing.
It's going to be a higher place.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, I'm looking down on you from
on top of the wardrobe with a spotlight and a smoke machine pointing at you while you're beating one off.
Big deep voice.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Give him a megaphone. Martin. Go on, keep going. Yeah. Martin, I'm watching.
All your grandparents are watching you. They're laughing. They're laughing and laughing.
Oh, what has the Catholic Church done to you?
Happily nothing, because it's all been washed away over the last few years.
Well, I suppose, you know, if nothing else, that old bloke wouldn't have any meths money if it weren't for what you pay him for that. So,
he just poured the meths into his eyes after what he's seen, but, you know, that's quite a normal thing, really.
I used to worry about when my grandma died. when I still sort of believed in God because I was too young, you know, better.
Yeah.
I did worry about it. She might be watching me. We never actually stopped, man.
Oh, yeah, we all have that thought. Horrible.
I didn't dream.
No?
No, no.
Well, no, I never thought any of my dead grandparents were watching me.
You freak.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
It's not a conceit.
Yeah.
I know, especially when I moved into my grandma's house after she died, and that was a very peculiar time.
Especially when I moved into my grandmother's house, and it was small, we had to share a bed.
So she was dead by that point. She wasn't like a corpse. But I picked the room I'd had before deliberately so that I could only open one key safe without ambling walking through, and other ghosts of note.
Yeah.
Sir Francis Chichester.
I occasionally have dreams of trying to have sly wank whilst other people are around.
Oh, I've had that dream. Yeah, I think that's a standard one, and it gets more and more frustrating as the dream goes along.
It's just like, it's almost like I'm sort of semi-naked and wanking constantly. Just I'm occasionally concerned people might notice.
Surely the beauty of that dream is that you can make it come true.
No, it's never...
Well, I'm doing my best now.
You really can't...
In the dream, it's...
See, now I hadn't looked down, I hadn't noticed at all.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
In the dream, it's never somebody you fancy who's there. It's always like your mum or a dad or the entire family.
Tom fancies your mum.
Yeah. But it's always like you kind of crack on there, and then of course you're feeling more ashamed and more ashamed.
Difficult to deny, really.
And then you try and shuffle away somewhere else, and then it's like the marching band walking through.
Well, it gives you a rhythm then, doesn't it?
I haven't had a dream like that though since probably my 20s, so it's obviously my larger.
Cool. Hell, that long ago.
Yeah.
I'm having them all the time, but I'm not wanking about anything that's going on around me. It's like I'm having a little fantasy in my head, and there's other stuff going on, like, you know, work or...
Wow. It's almost like Inception. It's almost like Inception, isn't it? Yeah. It's a wank fantasy within a dream.
Yes. But I've also had the other one where you're trying to have sex with somebody, and you can't find anywhere to have sex with them.
Mm.
Which has happened in real life. So you kind of... Right, here. Oh, fuck. There's like marching band going past again, that same marching band in real life this time, and oh god, now there's a priest walking by, and oh now some nuns, some children, and oh we're in the swings, and oh god, everybody wants to have their go. So yeah, it's a strange thing, the dream world. Just talk about my impotence dream. I hate talking about dreams on podcasts is possibly the last refuge of a twat, but
I think we're a bit late to save it now, aren't we? You might as well carry on. You never, if you're lucky, I might roll out last night's dream that I had again for the listeners.
Well, it was I can only call it, I think Freud would have described it as an impotent dream. That's all I can imagine, because I'm not particularly impotent at the moment.
Particularly?
No, I mean sitting
not particularly, you know.
I don't know, because I'm sitting in a pub. But you see, I'm not particularly aroused by that. I mean, I enjoy a drink. You know,
lying,
I don't enjoy
you've
a drink
got beer
that much.
And us. What could be more arousing than that?
But I mean, the fact that I've already admitted that I'm naked from the waist down and wanking myself off.
Yeah.
But you're saying you're not aroused at all?
No, sorry.
God damn it.
Oh, that is insulting. You could have at least pretended.
I like the tease, you see. That's
you pretended you're just a slight bit impotent. Just to make me feel better.
Yeah.
But no, and the dream was, I was a Roman soldier in your Roman times. And but my sword was blunt. And I went into battle, and I was hacking away at Visigoths. Any historical knowledge I have was thrown into that dream, even down to the costume I was wearing. There was one bit of the dream where I was being dressed by my servant sort of person, and I was asking for the correct pieces of uniform. So
you
I was
sad,
asking,
sad
so
fuck.
I was asking for my woolen tunic, my shoulder plates, my breastplates, helmet. My groin protection.
My blunt sword, please.
Thank you. The thing is, they forgot to give me the sword, so I went and found one. And I picked it up. It was like another ceremonial sword to get, which are kind of completely blunt down the sides.
Yeah.
A little bit like Burton's sword.
Yeah.
But it's still quite thin. Yeah. So I'm trying to find ways to sharpen it, and eventually, so I'm hacking away at these Visigoths. Yeah, fucking Visigoths. You see, that's how cultured my brain is. I've got a great fucking thing. Hacking away at them, and no damage at all.
Yeah.
So I go, I think, right, I need to sharpen my sword. This is where I get Freudian. And so I find a whetstone, which anybody who knows is a sharpening stone. And sadly, it's made of chalk, so it crumbles as soon as I start to sharpen my sword. Dear. So, what does that say about Martin Dream?
Oh, God, I wouldn't even know where to start.
At least
it
wasn't about a cannon that wouldn't go off. I mean, it wasn't that literal, but
yeah,
it was almost that bad.
Cannon that wouldn't go off and then suddenly went all droopy and melty.
Yeah. That would be unfortunate.
I think your brain's probably healthier than mine, which is currently latched onto the phrase jizzy goth and has gone off on some little ramble of its own.
I think I've seen that website.
It's a German one. Yes, I jizzy goth. I have to say it in a slightly English way.
Yeah.
I heiße Jesus.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. It was almost as if a linguist was in the room.
Yes.
This beer's making my face go red.
You've got a bit of a flush on, actually.
It's silly because I've drunk more than that last week.
Have I?
Little bit.
Mm. Must be the beer.
Excelsior beer. I'm going to whisper this now because a chap ordered this earlier on but couldn't pronounce Excelsior. I didn't know it was. He went, "I like some Excelsior peas."
See, you'd have thought he'd have played it safe and just gone for the pale gold.
In some Excelsior, please. It's the Yorkshire version. Or Lancashire
version. Echinacea. Alka-Seltzer.
Exceptional.
Executor.
Exasperated. Part of exasperated. Old exasperated, please.
Burn like what else?
I'm adding to a V to the
front. I'm just trying to... Yeah. Hey, I'm just trying to play. Pick on me. I'm trying.
Oh. Poor Tom.
I felt like a massive real ale wanker last Saturday, so we're going down Leeds, and I kept dragging the lovely people I was out with into real ale pubs. They were all drinking lager and I was drinking real ale.
No, wrong with that.
But I just said it was because I've got a beard, that's the reason. I can't drink lager.
It's still not quite bushy enough to be properly real ale wankery.
Because I shaved it off and then regrew it. So.
Yeah.
And because I don't know how to trim it properly. So I just have to shave it off and then regrow it to the right length. And then shave it off and go and regrow it.
You want to get a beard trimmer or something?
Yeah.
Is what you want.
Some scissors.
Yeah. Every time I do, it looks
I mean, you're kind. You're naturally inclined towards hairdressing, aren't you?
There's a hairdresser opened near my house, Danny's Hairdressers, it's called. This is unplugged, by the way. I'm thinking about going there to have my hair cut.
Good a reason as any, I suppose.
But I'm excited by the sign on his window, crudely painted, which said £5 cut and blow dry. So I might go in there and just see how much £5 buys you in the world of quality hairdressing.
Yeah.
Is the guy, the guy that does our hair.
Yes.
Leans towards the fruit, you know.
I would imagine he does, yeah.
Oh, this is lovely 1970s again.
Oh no, I think he actually is.
Oh, that's alright then. Does he walk out in a cravat? A neckerchief, all slightly florid and go, "Oh darling, I'm gonna sort you."
No,
out.
Off.
Not at home.
Off.
Dill's decided to climb onto the onto the chair. Did I take a photograph of? But sadly, we're recording on this phone, so I can't actually take a photograph.
Somebody else has decided that he's not allowed on there.
Randomly.
I'm guessing the landlord wouldn't approve.
No. We did have the biscuits before we came down.
Yes.
Andy did buy some biscuits. Sadly, because we didn't have the equipment to record it, we couldn't do a proper biscuit review. But we can say, I suppose we can do a mini biscuit review, can't we?
Mini biscuit review.
Mini biscuit review.
This is getting less mini.
Biscuit.
Quite nice.
Yeah, they're all right, weren't they?
Yeah, chocolatey.
Yeah,
so bit salty.
Oh, so that was just the one I gave you.
Yeah, that was
We had a little game.
Dill seemed to like him though. Is that what you do when I went to the shop to get beer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn it.
Dill joined in as well. We had them sewn back on so you could...
Yeah, they weren't actually cream sandwiches originally.
I was actually thinking, they're a bit on the soft side as well. And a little bit salty.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's probably good for you.
The salt is good for you.
It's protein salt.
It's healthy. It puts hairs on your breasts.
Yes.
It's chests on your hairs. And care bears in your underwear.
Yes. Care bears on your chest set.
Yeah. There you go.
Hello, they're care bears. And we're on your chest there.
That's what they sound like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to climb up the castle and ride on the knight.
He's off again.
Off, down, boy.
He's off. See, Dill's used to sort of climbing onto the sofa now and curl up and during the podcast and...
He's just used to going to sleep whilst us three are talking.
Oh, yes. Bless his little pot and bottom.
Stick my coat on the floor for him if he wants something to curl up on.
God damn it. What sort of wussy dog is it?
He was laying down on the floor well enough earlier, but I suppose when it's a, you know, he's got a perfectly nice bonquette to look at, he's obviously going to choose that in preference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'd all choose a bonquette over a floor.
Well, we wouldn't really.
Yeah, bonquettes, floors and bonquettes. Floors and bonquettes. So did you do anything on bonfire night?
I can't remember. Actually, bonfire night. I went to Preston.
It was on the
other... Oh, blimey.
I know.
Of all the places.
Fucking non-stop in my life, mate.
Lovely, but do you know what I did?
No.
Guess.
Did you stay in, watch Doctor Who and have a wank?
No, nearly.
No, he stayed in and watched that film and what he always watches that isn't as good as the graphic novel.
Oh, you watched V for Vendetta and had a wank.
Yeah.
It's not as good, is it?
I watched it on Blu-ray. Yeah. You've never even read it. Well, I
No, I just know it's not as good.
I haven't, like telling you. But yeah, it is always fun.
It's tradition.
They always. If you go into IMDb and look up the Vendetta, it's getting an increased score.
That's just you.
No, I'm
every day.
Oh God. And if you look down, you'll see lots of 5 stars, and then you'll see like a dozen 1-star reviews. And I would say that that's most of them. In fact, all of them, I think, start off as a fan of the comic book. And as I think I said in a blog at some point, whether I publish it or not, I sometimes write them and don't publish them. But I basically said, if you are comparing a film to a book, then you can just fuck off now because your review is pointless. Because frankly, you're reviewing a film, you're not reviewing a book, and you shouldn't even bring the book into it if you're going to make a review of a film. It should be on its own menu.
But I write. Andy might have his own opinion, but I think
I probably best, you know do have my own opinion on
the
things.
The best film reviewers will review a film as a film.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that is probably itself. The fairest way of doing it. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't agree with a lot of what Peter Jackson did with the Lord of the Rings trilogy on first viewing. But once I could sort of then objectively look at it, thought, yeah, he's actually made them into films that work in their own right.
Yeah.
But and you can't argue with that.
I could.
Yeah, right. Well, you can
just
argue with
just for larks, you know. But can I just rewind a second though?
Yeah.
Did you mean to imply that you'd actually written some blogs that you didn't consider good enough to put on the internet?
I'm afraid I do. There are unwritten blogs.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to put them in a book.
It's not so much that they
You want to retitle your blog. Seriously, this is actually the good stuff.
It's not so much that they are better or worse than the ones that are out there. It's just that I find the subject matter quite boring. And most of them peter out anyway, but these peter out and it's just a rant about stuff, and I don't think that's particularly the best ranting blogger is Michael Legg, and if you go and look at his blog at Michael Legg, is it .info?
I get it from Michael Legg's blog.blogspot.com.
Yeah, just put Michael Legg into Google, and pick it up. It's Legg double G. So so when I find myself getting quite similar to that, I don't publish. I just get it off my chest on the computer. They're all stored on my computer, so when I'm dead, everybody can laugh at them.
That'll be a first.
Hey! Yeah, mine aren't particularly funny at the moment. No, just I'm just filling space on my website. Oh, t-shirts.
Yeah. That's the logical progression.
Buy our t-shirts. Well, you don't have to, actually.
These, no, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You have to buy them.
Just something we created just for the laugh of it. But yeah, essentially, if you go to the www.thegentlemanreview.com and go to the merchandise section, you'll see
it's up the top.
Merchandise. You'll see a series of t-shirts that you can buy based upon these podcasts.
Yes,
and
they're all very, very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All the ones I've seen.
I was thinking especially the ones that were based on things I've said.
Oh, right, I see, yeah. The two of those, yeah. Actually, three of them. No, two.
three.
Toll Television was mine, wasn't he? So, yeah.
Yes, he was.
Pencil Tidbits was yours.
Yeah.
As was...
Come on, Grandad, turn the boiler off.
Yeah. You can get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Imagine that, imagine.
Imagine. I think that's what most people have always dreamed of.
The t-shirts are quite expensive and will take a month to come from America.
You really should work in sales, Martin.
Yeah, yes. They are from the same provider who do the Collins and Herrings one.
Because I think, you know, we thought, well, they can be shameless merchandise whores, why can't we? Yeah.
In fact, next week I'm going to be printing out a series of mugs.
So once everyone's taken their cut, we end up with about 3 each.
Yeah. So there are going to be mugs going on there. There will be lampshades randomly. And even artwork that you can put on your own wall.
Are they going to be disposable ponchos for wearing on log flume rides?
We need to find some.
I think we should get some Gentleman's Review branded disposable ponchos. Dilly off.
If Olu can get some action figures created, but I don't think that's going to be possible.
That might be a little...
They may cost a bit of money.
Yeah.
A bit of wonga.
Unless there's a company that just produces generic action figures that you can have a logo stamped on their chest.
Well, I'm just thinking about buying a load of action men and just sticking our faces on
them. Yeah. Our faces and a lot of floppy hair in your case.
which hopefully will be gone by the end of this month.
Oh, why? Have you got alopecia?
Yeah, I'm Gail Poulter gave her alopecia, which is why her hair's growing back now. Which I noticed the other day, because I followed her for a while on Twitter, and then I stopped, and she was doing well for this fuzz forecast, where she had a lot of pictures of these little bits of fluff on her head.
Yeah.
So it's fluff forecast, in fact. And now she's actually got a full head of hair back, pretty much. It's
blimey.
It's a bit patchy, but
that's jolly good.
It's all going back. Yes.
Great for her.
So it's a patchy full head of hair.
Nice. I like her, Paul, because she's mad.
Yes, I do.
She's completely mad.
She's completely less mad now.
Yeah. Did you see when she took over the Gadget Show for a while Susie Perry had an exploding anus or something?
No.
She was very, very funny. Completely mad.
She used to be bonkers.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about Susie Perry's bottom now.
Oh, yeah?
Now you've got me on that.
Well,
yeah.
Clad in leather.
Oh.
Yeah. On a motorbike.
Oh, that's me gone. There we go.
But they seem to have got another girl onto there now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I can give it another couple of years and they'll just have 50 different hosts, all doing 30 seconds of the show each.
I didn't watch it last week because I got across with five. Because I entered the competition, you know, to win all the gadgets.
Yeah.
I do it about once every series because all those gadgets would be fun.
Yeah.
I could sell them on eBay.
Yeah. I caught the end when they were doing all the prizes.
Boy.
And my jaw dropped.
Yeah, that's it. And they quite like that, but then I would have to store them in my house until I could get them all flogged on eBay.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny house. But I sent in my request by text to win it.
And you didn't win?
I didn't win, but not only that,
I hate that.
For the entire week afterwards, I kept getting texts inviting me to enter more competitions.
Oh, that's annoying.
Equally £1.50 a head.
Yeah.
Which, that's
rude, yeah.
You've got to remember, people...
Like, they're not scamming enough money off people just for entering. They've got to try and wring a bit more out.
People less informed than us might have looked at that and gone, you know, that's a really good idea. I'm going to keep spending £1.50 and then their children die of starvation.
Yep. Although that would probably be for the best if they were going to grow up like their idiot parents.
Right. Yeah. Probably gone down the bingo or to the online poker or the late night roulette. It just makes me laugh.
What, late night roulette? Telly roulette is awesome.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we've talked about before the strange presenters they get on there to sort of
they do get some weird people on, yeah.
Giving us the stats from the hour.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
I think I don't get it.
No, I don't.
I'm a big fan of just flicking through channels.
Yeah.
Because it winds up the girlfriend. Sends her to bed. So I can stay up and watch all sorts of
rubbish. So you can watch some of your more specialist videos. So,
hi darling, would you like to go to bed early?
Yeah.
No, I just like constant just scrolling through preview. Just start on one, flick through, watch 5 minutes or something, get bored, watch something else.
Yeah, I do that.
Come on, flick on the next channel. Oh, yeah. It's just it passes the hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I ended up on like the last 10 of the top 20 EastEnders weddings last night.
Yeah,
bloody
kept
hell.
Me entertained for a bit. Barely.
That sounds grim.
Yeah, I just find these roulette channels and just flick straight on. I don't understand what the appeal is.
No, they are. I mean,
it's gambling for people without the social skills to actually go to a real casino and talk to someone.
So they don't have a computer.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they use the computers in there as well. But I always just see this picture of this man sitting there with some really, really cheap beer. With maybe a shirt open to show a sort of sovereign on a chain. And
I reckon I always picture a fat man in a dirty vest.
Yeah, well, that's good to say. He's fat as well.
Oh, right, okay.
Also bald.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, maybe a stringy comb over.
Yeah. And his children upstairs sleeping in their threadbare sheets.
Yeah,
and
four of them in one single bed.
And he's spending all of his Nash on late night roulettes. And so yes, that's why these things are iniquitous and horrible. Let's kill them. Kill them all.
Yeah.
Kill them all of them.
Yeah.
Which is if you ever listen to Star Wars, if you hear Ian McDiarmid at the end, he always puts that popping noise.
Yeah.
Master Luke. You've got to do it. You can't not come out of a line like that.
Your friends will find that the shield is perfectly operational. It's fully functioning space.
Functioning? Not that much of a Yorkshire accent.
It's fully functioning space.
Fully functioning. Battle station.
Whoa. Dill has done a poop.
Rancid.
He's done a little poop.
God damn.
It's eggy.
I'm sorry, that's a pump, not a poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope.
Pump. Pumpy review.
It's
the pumpy review. Pumpy review. I can smell his pump. It's eggy. It's doggy. Has he been drinking? No, he's not drinking any beer, is he?
No, he's just had water.
Yeah, so it's obviously pumpy water smell.
That's no right.
He did have his lunch at our house, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or dinner, sorry. We are in Yorkshire.
Yes.
And I was explaining to somebody the other day because I'd watched it on Giles and Sue's thing, you know, the supersizes about dinner and tea.
Yes.
And about how very recent it is that people started saying lunch and dinner. You know, it was not like the Victorians who said lunch and dinner. It was before then. It was everywhere said dinner and tea.
Oh.
So you had your dinner during the daytime, you had your tea in the evening.
So we up here are right.
Yeah, your dinner, tea, and
you're out of touch. You're old school.
Yeah, yeah, dinner, tea, and
supper. You're yesterday's vernacular.
Yeah. Dinner, tea, and supper.
Yeah.
Super. You can't say super.
Dinner, tea, beer, supper.
Yeah. Well, beer with anything. Small beer with everything.
Yeah.
Which I used to think meant a small beer until I discovered that it was just very weak beer.
Yeah. Not just a thimbleful.
Yeah. I like the idea of just
tiny, like crafted, like a proper pint pot with all the dimples in it and the handle, but just tiny, weeny.
No wonder that they have such short lives. If you think that kids were drinking beer from, you know, back. Yeah.
They were used to it. Kiddie beer mixed in with milk.
Yeah. In fact, I think Calpol should do their own kiddie beer range.
Yeah.
Or Cowan Gate.
Yeah. That sounds like a pub.
Yeah, kiddie beer.
Down the Cowan Gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely. Have you been following the Twitter joke trial stuff that's been going on this week?
Yes, I have been. Yeah.
Which has amused me.
Yes, it's been quite funny.
Yes.
If you can go to New York Times, look at their article about it. It's very funny.
Oh, I've not read that.
Because they quote some of the... if you know yesterday... Well, there's people who don't know what we're talking about who've probably been living on the moon. Essentially, a chap made a joke about blowing up a crappy airport. And was it Robin?
Yeah, it was Robin Hood Airport.
Yeah.
Which sounds rubbish just from the off, doesn't it?
Yeah, operable airport. He was then prosecuted for this under the Communications Act, whichever year, is now appealing against this.
I thought he had appealed. Because everyone was just expecting that this was going to be overturned because it was a ridiculous thing to prosecute him.
So because we don't like that sort of thing on Twitter, you know, we people hang around there far too often. Everybody yesterday, well, not everybody, many people.
Some. Yeah.
Many people retweeted the same tweet over and over and again with the hashtag I'm Spartacus afterwards, which was lovely. I find it really entertaining watching all this. And then people start to get sillier and funnier about it, about what they're going to be blowing up. And a lot of these were quoted in the New York Times article. Because New York Times is a very serious newspaper. And then, you know, they're better than most of the newspapers in Britain because they still have proper journalism. It was kind of very serious, and they were just quoting these things about, I'm going to blow your legs off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's very funny. look it up, New York Times.
Yeah.
Very good. But yes, so I was most impressed during it when the verdict came in of guilty.
Yes.
Like 5 seconds after, a student fire just said, look, whatever it costs.
Oh, yeah, offer to pay is fine, didn't it?
Which
is jolly nice.
Which apparently he'd made the offer before, but he just reiterated it. So. Mm. And I thought that was lovely. I mean, 3.5 grand is nothing to student fire. He could lose that in 5 seconds and not even notice it. He probably makes that in 5 seconds. I mean, he's a
spends it on gadgets.
Yeah, he's a multi-millionaire with a penchant for gadgets. So I thought that was rather lovely. He's now going ahead with the taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
So watch that space.
Yeah.
I can't promise that we're going to be up to date with anything. So.
No.
So what he's appealing for is he's eventually going to get to the European.
It wouldn't surprise
me. Human rights or whatever it is. Legal.
Well, it won't be the human rights. It'll just be the European Court of Justice.
European Court of Justice.
Appeals.
Because it's going to keep going. But now, of course, now we've got a Supreme Court instead of the House of Lords now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming that it was only one of these wanky-ass New Labour anti-terror laws that it got him on in the first place, and it was that blowing something up.
Well, strangely, it's not. It was under the Communications Act. I mean, it was like
sufficiently vague, isn't it?
I thought they got him under anti-terrorism.
Yeah.
But it was under...
Yeah, it's making menace or threats or something like that, wasn't it?
Calls.
Yeah. Bunch of art.
It's the same act that they'll get you if you rang up somebody and said you were going to kill them.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, when you ring up the ladies and tell them how you're sitting in the bush wanking outside their house.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not menacing. I'm just giving them the information.
Well,
in case they want to do anything about it.
Exactly. But clearly they take a very stilted view of what actually counts as menacing these days.
But I think what they need to do is they need to amend the act with things like Twitter, because Twitter itself is not a broadcast medium. It's not directed, is it? No, it's or even a communication medium like a telephone call. You know, you're not ringing somebody up. So it's more like, I think I said it in my blog, yes, it's more like a chat down the pub like we're having now.
Yeah.
Like
the man who drinks cough mixture and stands at the corner of the street shouting.
Yeah, yeah, like him.
Yeah.
if that man or us said, I'm going to blow up an airport, I wouldn't expect to be hounded by the police and then...
You wouldn't have thought, would you? No,
no,
no. No.
Because that's my right as a citizen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, the Northern Ireland.
Mm.
Subject of the Queen.
Bloody Queen.
And Northern Ireland.
Bloody Queen.
Yeah, so it's...
Bloody
it's,
royal family.
Hey,
it's all a little bit rum.
She's perfectly pleasant, but...
It's all a bit rum, if you ask me. Rumdu.
Yes, very much so.
So,
I do like your stance on the Queen.
What?
Because you can say, because you've always been anti-monarchy.
Yes.
And you say, yeah, I don't agree with the principle, but I've met her and she's perfectly pleasant.
Oh, yeah. it's not a personal thing, it's a principled thing.
It's a monarchist thing, yeah. It's anti-monarchist. Yeah. So, but I was thinking about the Queen the other night, not that one wanking, as usually happens.
Mm.
I was thinking about how does that Queen woman affect your life in any way, shape or form, apart from being on the money and stamped. If she was to go, how would that affect your life?
What, if the institution as a whole were to go, or she were to go and get replaced by
Charles? No, the institution as a whole was to go.
I mean, well, I don't think it written properly would. I think with it all, you know, obviously any kind of big change there'd be an upheaval, yeah. But I think it would all sort of level out quick yeah. enough, wouldn't it?
I mean, Prime Minister would probably become a president or something. I'll probably have a president and a Prime Minister, wouldn't
yeah. I know for a fact, and it's a very dull point to make, but I would have slightly less pride in my country if
really?
We did not have.
I think that's a
monarchy.
Poor thing to have pride in. I think it makes us look a bit backwards.
Yes.
No, I like the history of it. I like the fact that we've
well,
been
the history would still be there. The beauty of the history is it's in the past yeah. and it will remain there.
Yeah, I like things that keep going. I like to say, yes, we used to have something that was good in the past, but we don't have it now, because I think the monarchy is good.
We used to have something that was regressive.
No, I like it.
But if that's because you're just a toadying feudal lapdog, aren't you?
A traditionalist.
But the one thing that would happen if the Queen went, which would make me...
Forelock tugging pussy.
One thing that would make me happy for the Queen, if the monarchy disappeared, one thing that would make me really happy, and I hope they would do it.
Yeah.
I hope they would blow up Buckingham Palace because it's a fucking eyesore.
I'm not convinced they would, but it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's because I've been watching V for Vendetta this week. Yeah. And I think
they could have a big countdown, just everyone packed into the mall and round. They go, 10, 9, boom.
I'd like Hugo boom. Weaving to be there in his mask.
Yeah.
Not everybody in masks like they did.
That would be good.
You start this entire 5-minute conversation just to crowbar in a bit of architectural snobbery.
Yes. Why are you surprised by that? You know what he's like.
The building itself is fine, but until the Victorian... Actually, I don't think it was Victorian time. I'm completely wrong about it. It was actually in the early part of the 20th century that facade was put on. I might be wrong. But I shall...
You should sneak in one night and take it down.
I'll put it on the pod blog and give you the exact reason, the link to the...
It's all the entire article.
So tune in for that one, kids.
It's all brick and thatch inside.
Yeah. Well, the front of it was quite...
tiny as well. There's only two rooms.
It was a rather lovely sort of very... quite plain, but still quite elegant house. And then put on the front of Buckingham Palace. Well, it's a little bit like Disneyland.
Stone cladding.
It's essentially what it was. It was stone.
Yeah. It's
cladding.
Aristocratic stone cladding.
I think it's Portland stone cladding. I don't think it's even
Victorian.
Yeah.
It's only litty limestone, Portland. So.
Is it Portland?
Yeah.
Well. I didn't know that. And now I know it. I still don't entirely understand.
Made it with little balls.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. Oh, lovely.
All stuck together with glue.
Calcite.
Ah.
Not funny, but factual.
How lovely.
Thanks, that's geology nice. Fans.
Geology fans.
Keep writing geology fans, requests.
Geology fans. Don't
exist. I'm going to go for this now. Once the podcast, I'm going to crowbar.
Oh, God, Tom's geology fact. Could you put some kind of convenient breakpoint before and after it so it'll be easily edited out?
Maybe an alignment tone.
Yeah,
great silence for the geology facts of the week.
And that's this week's geology fact.
Yeah. I think I liked my subject slightly too much when I was watching the Attenborough programme last night.
Hmm.
And I was just almost in fits of ecstasy over the trilobites that they were showing. They were stunning.
Were they metal?
Have to watch that programme.
Yeah.
The intricacy of their carapace, it was just...
Oh. I was talking to someone last night, actually, who'd watched that. Mm. And, yeah, she was saying, because they like sort of etch them out, don't they? From
yeah.
the thing, the stone they're embedded in.
Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
And you see all the little twiddles and the spikes on them, like you don't usually...
Yeah, I've got a strange thing with David Attenborough documentaries. I've probably mentioned it before on podcast. And as a rule, I don't like wildlife documentaries. I find them quite dull until I start watching them. And then I don't switch them off.
Mm.
I've got the load on my Virgin box, which is all in the glorious HD and surrounded sound and all the other stuff. And I'll switch it on.
Here we go again.
And I'll be fascinated by it.
Have I ever told you about my AV setup?
Yes, it's very nice.
Yeah.
It's a very nice setup.
It's HD, you know.
It's got a like
a big television and my 19.1 surround sound system that they haven't even invented
it's
yet.
It's only 7.1 surround sound, you know.
Very good.
With my 1080p television and a Blu-ray player.
You plug it in and it turns all the walls of your house into speakers.
Yeah, that's right. And I touch it all night long. It's got a furry opening in the back.
That is you, that is.
I stick my winky into that.
Yeah.
And then it goes pop and fizz. And I know it's satisfying.
Yeah. And... So they've got our work. They've got lots of little sort of environmental bon mots stuck up on the walls, including in the gents.
Oh, right,
things
yeah.
like, you know, sort of, we use up 30 billion litres of third world countries' water producing our food every day and stuff like that.
I'm just pissing.
Which, oh, God, damn. Which, you know, for
that's a... not a particularly good boast for a company. Sure.
No, I was going to say, well, for a, you know, a multinational corporate entity lecturing individual employees about their environmentalism seems a bit fucking rich to my mind. But I actually finally got around to reading one while I was having a wee yesterday.
After having spent weeks forming judgments on them.
Well, I finally got around to reading one that I hadn't read before, that had obviously been up since before the summer, because it said, now the summer is approaching, why not consider walking or cycling to work? And I thought, oh, that's brilliant, actually, because I've been considering walking to work for about 4 weeks now, and I've never felt better.
No, you're going to walk into Tobberdon from Manchester?
Just considering it.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, okay, as long as you can actually do it.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not doing it, because it doesn't say to do it, it just says to consider it.
Because you would lose your job in a week from not actually turning up to work ever.
Yeah.
So you'd be walking and you turn up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Right.
Here I am.
Sorry, Dil. Dil thought you'd be deep breathing.
So, yeah.
The fire is lit.
Yeah. I was actually reasonably hot and sweaty before they did that. So,
yeah, I'm
thinking, you know, those three lads in that room, they don't quite look hot and sweaty enough.
Never put anything on the fire after 7.
Well, I think that's a lesson for us all.
We can all live by that, can't we?
Never put anything on fire after 7.
After no. 7. Never.
Don't do it. Don't think about it.
Not even water.
I think there are very few absolutes in life. But that's one.
Yes, never put anything on the fire for that. That's just a sexual advice. It's a bit. It's like you know, marriage. Never go to sleep in an argument.
Yes.
Never put anything on fire after 7.
Ne'er cast a clout till May's out. No. And never put anything on the fire after 7.
Yeah.
Oops.
But the other side, when do you know when to put clothes on? There's no rhyme for that.
I don't know.
Never don a garment before February's varmint.
Well, that's the thing. There's so little that rhymes with garment.
Yeah.
Don't put on your clothes till it's 5:30. Boves. It just doesn't work, does it?
No.
Which explains all your convictions for indecent exposure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just wandering around. No rhymes. Yeah. No mnemonics.
Well, you know what they say, officer. Never put on some clothes till it's 5:30. Boves. And my watch doesn't have that on it.
Everything to be truly accurate, it only explains the first conviction.
Well, yeah, right.
Seems we've got away from
the other 87. Sheer bloody mindedness.
He's a creature of habit.
Yeah. I know that one policeman. I've only ever had him running with one policeman, and I quoted some with no item. So,
I bet he loved that, because I found there's nothing that coppers like more than someone getting a bit smart with them. They think it's really funny.
I was walking through the town centre.
Did you suggest to him maybe that his head went all the way to the top of his helmet?
I really should have done, you know.
Because I think that's a winner as well. or maybe even give him some advice on how he should be out catching proper criminals.
Good God, you're right.
Yeah. Sorry, well, thank you very much, sir. You've shown me the error of my ways. On you go.
Dave's policeman's one.
Jesus, I'm just starting to melt now.
I was walking through the town centre slightly drunk one evening. I think coming back from the zoo bar, and I actually bumped into a policeman, literally. I bumped into a policeman. And he knocked her back. And all I could think to say, I have no idea, it was... Because I've probably been watching it recently, I just went, "Sorry, officer, I've had a few ales." Which is tragic. Which is tragic, really. So, are we going to be getting another pint?
Yeah, is it? I think it probably is. It's probably about time to say goodbye to all our lovely, lovely listeners.
We love
you. One of us can go up to the pint, can go up to the bar and get us some more drinky drinkies.
You say goodbye to all the cunts as well.
No, I'm not saying goodbye to the cunts. This is only for the lovely listeners.
Okay,
lovely listeners.
Only the lovely ones.
Yeah.
The lovely breasts and willies.
So, from all of us here, a gentleman's review in the Three Pigeons pub in Halifax. Bye-bye!
That was a Gentleman's Review podcast presented by Andrew Wilson, Martin Wolfenden, Tom Stringfellow. It was produced by the legs of Lady Macbeth. For more information about this podcast, go to www.thegentlemansreview.com.